Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of our podcast, Could Be Your Life. I'm Caroline.
My name is Jeff.
Together, we are Caroline and Jeff, and we are coming at you with another band. Last week was full of hatred and negativity surrounding a very positive, life-affirming band. This week is going to be the opposite. A very nihilistic, mean, depressing band that is probably one of my top five favorite bands ever. So, and Jeff, I think, doesn't like them that much, but fuck Jeff. Am I right, everybody?
Well, I don't know if I would call Animal Collective life-affirming, exactly.
I think they're trying to
be. Do you think that's what they're going for?
Yeah, it's like
life-affirming?
Yeah, like everybody dancing around in circles at Coachella and doing drugs.
Wearing Indian headdresses.
Yeah.
I feel like Animal Collective is one of those bands. Like, they've probably worn Indian headdresses at some
point. Oh, I'm sure.
I'm glad to hear your enthusiasm for Flipper, because and I hope that translates to you having things to say about them.
I do,
because I don't really. I find them basically an okay band with occasional moments of greatness. And they do one thing pretty much.
That's true.
And, you know, kind of take it or leave it.
Yep.
Which I think they were influential, certainly, in their way. And they're a band that I would have loved to have seen live. But, you know, Flipper, they're kind of a footnote for me, more than, like, an important artist in my worldview.
No. For me, they're, like, the main attraction. Flipper changed me. Like, honestly, Flipper, I think, was the first band that was, like, even peripherally associated with, like, noise rock that I ever heard.
Really?
Yes.
So what brought you to Flipper?
A bunch of my dumb friends were talking them up.
Okay.
And then I had an even dumber friend who was like, I can't believe this shit. This is just noise. This is a guy who loved the album Think Fish by Frank Zappa, by the way. He was, I can't believe this shit. You guys are just pretending to like this to make me mad. And so I was like, well, I think this guy's a douchebag I like messing with, so I'm going to listen to this band. Mm-hmm. And I listened to Generic at like 3 a.m. I was like 16 years old. I'm like, these guys are really tapping into something I didn't know music could be. And it changed me.
So, okay. Well, I might put it to you, and maybe you can agree or disagree with me on this, that is the reason you love Flipper so much, because they came first for you.
I would say that's definitely probably true, but I can't imagine that I wouldn't hear music like this and not love it.
Sure.
Because it does have like all of the elements that I want to hear. Mm. Really strong, like fuzz, boneheadedly dumb bass lines, a guitar that is not even playing a melody, some drunk guy yelling about how the world is garbage. It's got it all, buddy.
It's got it all. So you heard this before the Butthole Surfers?
Oh, long before, yeah.
Before like Sonic Youth even?
Oh no, I'd heard Sonic Youth, but I didn't like them that much at that time. Cause I only had Daydream Nation and I thought it was too long.
Do you still think it's too long?
No. Now I love Daydream Nation, but yeah, at the time I thought it was too long. I had to listen to a 4-hour Fish Halloween show where they covered Quadrophenia. I didn't have time to listen to Daydream Nation.
Daydream Nation is way too long.
Yeah.
That's interesting that Flipper came so early for you, because I feel like they're a band you have to work to get to, kind of.
Not
you
me. Know,
like, they're not one of the, like, first punk bands you ever hear, or whatever.
No, they should be.
Mm. You think?
Yes. I think everybody should listen to them. I think that Living for the Depression should be the national anthem of the United States.
Does Flipper go beyond generic for you?
Yeah. My favorite album of theirs is their live album, Blowing Chunks.
Oh, okay.
Which I also think is the greatest live album ever. And I've heard many.
Interesting.
So.
Huh. Greatest live album ever, huh?
Yeah. It's even better than Live Dead, and Live Dead is, like, way up there.
Yeah, I didn't know when you assigned me these albums that, like, 2.5 of them were live. So that was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I like Flipper Live, what can I tell you?
They do seem like they would be a great thing to see live. There was like a famous quote from Henry Rollins in Get in the Van where he said that Flipper was heavier than anything he had ever heard or something like that when he saw them live.
When did he see them?
I'm sure around the time of Generic would be my guess.
Makes sense.
Because, I mean, those were his tour diaries.
From the 80s. Never read Get in the Van, so.
I haven't either. I know that.
God, we are such posers.
Do you really want to read what Henry Rollins, like? do you want to peer into Henry Rollins' head?
Not really, yeah, but I, you know, like, I'm one of them, I guess.
You say that you're their friend.
Yeah, I say that I'm Henry Rollins' friend.
I don't think you've ever said that.
No, I did say that I was in love with him one time on the show.
Really?
Which could not be further from the truth.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But I thought it was funny.
No one could possibly be in love with Henry Rollins.
I'm sure he's nice.
He's a blockhead. That song Blockhead by Devo is about him.
He does have a very square head. And a huge neck.
Fight me, Rollins, you square-headed fuck.
Yeah.
Don't actually fight me. Cause
he is probably a podcast now.
Who doesn't?
That's a really good point.
Hell, I've got a podcast.
I'm part of the problem.
Yeah, so Flipper, they're... See, like I said, where do I even... They do one thing.
Yeah, it's just that one thing is the greatest thing anyone's ever done.
Yeah, and I don't really have, like, a history with them either, like...
Did you listen to them first?
See, I don't even remember. Like, that's probably not until college, because they were very much in that, like, second tier for me of, like, punk bands, basically.
Like, I've heard the best, now I'll try the rest.
Right. and, you know, I was familiar with them from, like, Kurt Cobain talking them up. He was a big fan. He went as far as wearing a homemade Flipper shirt in the Come As You Are video.
You know who else, for a while, had a homemade Flipper shirt?
You?
Yes.
I mean, I'm kind of surprised I didn't, because, I mean, I love the, like, fish design, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mine was yellow.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Like the album cover?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, I had heard them talked up for a long time, and, you know, I listened to it, and I was like, yeah, it's pretty good. And that was pretty much the extent of my relationship with Flipper. And that persists to this day. I will occasionally break out Generic or Gone Fishing and listen to it and think, yeah, that was pretty good. And then I'll go on with my merry day.
Listen to whatever bullshit. You're listening to Wall of Voodoo.
Wall of Voodoo. Yes, I did get the Wall of Voodoo LP the other day with Mexican Radio on it. Great song.
Sure.
I
get it confused with AM Radio by Everclear.
Those are very different songs.
I know they are, but in my head, when I think of one, I hear the other.
I mean, I have AM radio running through my head at all hours of the day, pretty much, so...
It gets, I think about it a lot, actually.
AM radio?
Yeah, I'm not proud of it, but
why
I do.
Why is that?
Why what?
Why do you have AM radio in your head all the time?
I don't know.
Like, what triggers thoughts of AM radio for you?
Well, if anybody talks about hearing music, I'm like, you know where you can hear music.
That's a lot like that song, AM Radio, by Everclear.
Yeah. I never even liked Everclear. I just heard that song everywhere.
You know something fun?
Everclear was your first favorite band.
My first favorite band besides Weird Al. My stepmom did one of those Columbia House record kind of things, and she let us like pick a couple, and they were the first CDs I ever had besides Weird Al, which I had like his complete collection a lot on cassette actually, but
still got them.
No, oh, God, damn. Who the fuck knows where those are. I had a lot of Weird Al cassettes though. I would jam them in my little boombox in my room.
Oh, I had a little boombox too.
To this day, I think my Weird Al knowledge is pretty impressive to this day, but that's another topic for another day.
Yeah, we'll do a Weird Al episode someday.
Do you think he fits in?
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of his original music is like essentially new wave, you know? Like he,
so there you go.
He was interested. Like, that's kind of the music he's into, I think, is like Devo, B-52s, Talking Heads, that kind of shit.
Sure. All great acts.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So.
But yeah, first CDs I ever owned, besides Weird Al, Everclear, So Much for the Afterglow, and Savage Gardens, self-titled.
I had that one, too.
Oh, so good.
Okay, did they have more than one hit, or do I just think that
several. They had To the Moon and Back.
Yep.
They had I Want You.
That's the one I was thinking of. And then they had Truly Madly Deeply.
And, they had another album that had a couple singles off it, too. But like,
well, I didn't know that one. I just had the first one.
They were. No, they were big hit. Like, you would probably remember them if you heard them, but I just can't remember them off the top of my head.
We're not talking about Savage Garden today.
I am.
We're talking about Flipper.
So yeah, generic Flipper. We're starting here in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
Love that album cover, for one
thing.
How
could you not?
Yeah. It was meant, I guess, to be like a generic album cover.
Yeah, and they accused... or I don't know if they literally accused, but they believe
Public Image Limited.
Yeah, that they stole.
That makes sense. Cause, yeah,
but the Public Image Limited thing kind of just looks like Repo Man. But with, I don't remember which came first.
Repo Man or Public Image Limited?
Well, Repo Man or that one by them.
Well, Repo Man was 84, right?
84, yeah.
So I think that album came out in the late 80s. So,
okay. So I might have a case.
Came first. Yeah.
I might have a case.
Speaking of things that are awesome.
Yeah, this album.
I was going to say Repo Man, but.
Well, yeah, Repo Man. So.
Yeah, this album's pretty good.
It changed me, buddy. Like, I heard Ever, and I was like, whoa. People can do this.
Yeah.
They're out there.
Ever is a pretty... that's a pretty great song. I was going to say...
It's an iconic, you know?
Yeah. I mean... I will admit, sometimes when I look at flowers, I think, ever look at a flower and hate it.
Yeah. It's a great line.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny.
Ever
wish the human race didn't exist and then realize you're one too.
You're one too.
That's rough, man.
I know. It's real.
Mm-hmm.
This album has got a lot of hits. You got Life is Cheap.
Uh-huh.
It's got that kind of dumb, like, sped up vocal, like backing vocal.
Right.
But I kind of like that. It's part of the charm.
Mm-hmm.
over a decade at a time. Life is pretty cheap, it's so easy to find. Life is pretty cheap, there's really nothing new. Life is pretty cheap, except for the cold delirious view.
And that, like, ever has a little bit of, like, a spring in its step. Not much of one. And then it just really just sucks all the air out of the room.
Sludge for the rest of the album.
It's great. Mm-hmm. Well, Living for the Depression kind of picks it up.
Yeah, that's true. If you've never heard Flipper before, it's very bass-driven music.
Mm-hmm.
Generally played at fairly slow tempos. Yep. lots of like just nonsensical guitar. I don't even know what the fuck the guitar is doing.
I know, and it's incredible. Like, Ted Falcone, he's like one of my guitar heroes.
Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
He doesn't even sound like he's playing notes.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
And shouted vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Alternating between Bruce Luce and Will Shatter.
That's right.
Bruce Luce had a bit of a maybe a little more typical punk rock voice, I would say. I mean
barely.
Well, a bit of, you know, kind of a high shout, I guess. Whereas I don't know, Will Shatter kinda has this like almost sort of goofiness to his voice, you know?
I saw you, Shaw! Like that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's... And it's very repetitive also. Like,
oh, it's gotta be.
Generally, the bass line does not change throughout the entire song.
I can't think of it... At least on this album, I can't think of a time when it does.
Yeah.
Like, I really can't.
I can't either.
And, like, I know how, like, there was a long time where the only songs I felt like I could play on bass with any kind of, any kind of confidence were Flipper songs.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I could play, like, every song in this album by heart, and I'm like, yeah, there's no changes.
yeah. So, if you don't like a bass line, you might as well just skip to the next song. Because it's not going to change.
Nope.
So yeah, these are groove based songs. Slow, bassy, sludgy, noisy, angry.
Yep.
And
depressed.
Definitely, yeah. And it's very cool. Like, this is a very cool sounding album. I guess it's just that, like, they never do anything else, like, ever. I mean, on like Sex Bomb, you know, they have the horns and the keyboard sound effects, and which sort of livens things up a little bit, but
yeah, it's a party song.
Other than that, not really. Like, it's kind of all the same, and then, you know, they pretty much keep going with that formula on all their other albums. Gone Fishing is maybe a little quirkier than this album, but
yeah.
But that's what they do. So, like, if that's appealing to you, by all means, listen to Flipper. They're good at what they do. I just wish they had more than one thing that they did, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, if you want it, like, if you want something that's like Flipper but does more, it's just, you can just go to, like, early Melvins.
Yeah. Well, early Melvins is so much more, like, dynamic than this music is.
That's what I'm saying. But, like, Flipper was such a massive influence on the Melvins. Sure. That they had, like, Flipper, like, the little fish thing on all of their gear. And people were like, if you didn't know, you would think that they were Flipper.
That's funny. Also, their lyrics are worth mentioning.
Yeah.
Very... very nihilistic.
Yeah, these are some of my favorite lyrics. I think some of that is just like where I was when I first listened to this album and like how long it's been a part of my music listening life, but like as far as lyrics, these are some of my favorites.
Yeah. You know, man, like it, I kind of feel like I, this band might be a little dark for me, honestly.
Like, yeah.
Like, you know, like,
you like Swans.
Yeah, but like that's kind of like goofy. Like Swans is so theatrical.
Yeah, it's more performative.
Yeah, that I can sort of distance myself from it. Whereas like I'm pretty sure Flipper like actually hates me, you know? Like
they don't hate you, they hate themselves.
And everyone else.
Well, oh, yeah.
Like the sentiment of a song like Life is Cheap, you know, like that's pretty, I mean, that's, it's dark shit, man. Like,
yeah, but that's, you know what? It's true.
I guess I like to think all life has value, right? I mean, look, obviously we just did Animal Collective and I complained about how like obnoxiously optimistic and cheery they are.
There is a middle ground right. Between Flipper and Animal Collective.
Right, exactly. I'm just saying, like, you know, let's embrace the full spectrum of human emotion and, you know.
Well, this is part of it.
Yeah, sure, sure. But yeah.
What are some highlights on this one for you?
Well, I think Sex Bomb is the classic Flipper song.
Sure.
I mean, that's relentless groove, you know, which is part of all Flipper songs, but especially that one. Like, it actually grooves, you know? Like, it doesn't...
Yeah.
Like other Flipper songs kind of plod, but that song grooves, you know? Like, it kind of swings a little bit, almost, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I love the horns. Yeah, and it's fun, actually, which, like... not really much of this album is. And it's such a, like, it's a really stupid song, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and that's something I always like from music. And I love
I know
horns.
That you do like when music dares to be stupid.
That's exactly.
Good.
Now, I do kind of have a thing for, like, aggressively stupid music, you know? Like, stuff that, like, repeats over and over and like has really dumb lyrics or just has like one line that like they chant throughout the
no,
whole
no I
thing,
feel the same way.
Yeah, like I don't know, I sort of like mindless repetition.
Yeah,
so Sex Bomb definitely hits that spot for me.
Sure.
And like I said, the horns are great. I love the pew
yeah.
from the keyboard, like, and just the one lyric in the song, Sex Bomb Baby. Yeah.
Well, she's a sex bomb, my baby. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He does say that at one point. Or maybe a couple points, I don't remember, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's probably their most famous song, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I think it's probably their best song too, like.
Yeah.
It does, it kills, man. Like honestly, like it's an 8-minute song that uses like that one bass line pretty much.
Yeah.
But I could listen to that longer. Like, I could probably listen to, like, a Sister Ray length version of Sex Bomb. Like, no problem.
Sure.
It's just, like, that good. It really swings. I appreciate that.
Yep. Do you have any other faves?
I mean, Ever, we already talked about, which I think is such a fantastic, you know, beginning to this album, and The lyrics are relatable, sure.
Yeah.
And I
sometimes
like,
you do see a couple kissing and get sickened by it.
Sure. I like the ending too. Well, have you? I have. So what?
So what? Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's like just sort of denying the whole point of his song almost. Like there was futility in even singing this because who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Talk about punk rock.
Yeah.
Speaking of punk rock, I watched the movie CBGB today.
Oh, Jesus.
It is unwatchable.
Was it inspired by Bruce Luce talking about Hilly Slovak on the one live album?
I just I just decided to watch it. I don't know.
Okay.
Because I had today off, and I was like, well, I was going to do something, but instead I'll just stay home and watch this movie that I know I'm not going to like.
Right. I had some, like, morbid curiosity about it.
Yeah.
But,
it's unwatchable.
Really?
It's so awful.
I mean, obviously, like, that is a time and place that I'm very interested in.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
Maybe
and
I could watch,
anything,
like...
I love anything to do with, like, old, shitty New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole period of time, but it's so bad.
So that's the thing, like, I could watch a mediocre movie about CBGB and probably, like, enjoy it, but, like, if someone just gave it, like, the standard issue, like, biopic treatment, like they did, like, Walk the Line or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I could it's not this.
I could probably get into that, but...
The drummer from the Foo Fighters plays Iggy Pop.
Taylor Hawkins, is that his
yes.
name?
Yes.
God, why do I know that?
I know.
I didn't even know
and,
I knew that until you just brought it up.
And every time somebody is going to play a song, they just do like the studio version of their biggest song, regardless of when that song came out.
Really?
Yeah, so you have Patti Smith doing Because the Night in like 1975.
What?
Yeah.
That's weird.
And I think the scene that for me is so television is playing and a leak comes through the ceiling and Tom Verlaine, played admirably by some like model probably, gets electrocuted and it gets up and he's like, this place is cool. It's Tom Verlaine saying that.
What?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. I know you have feelings about Tom Verlaine.
Tom Verlaine's a beautiful man. But...
Oh, yeah. Patti Smith thought so.
Yeah. That's another great couple.
Oh, that's a one angular couple.
Oh, man. Patti Smith was... She was something.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, she doesn't look bad today, actually, but...
No, she... Yeah.
But, yeah, like, 70s Patti Smith is one of the hottest women to have ever lived, probably. I don't know.
If not the... By my estimation, at least.
Mm. But anyway.
But, yeah, the lady that plays Patti Smith in the CBGB movie is Sting's daughter.
Wonder how she got that gig.
I don't know. Also, at the end of the movie, the police audition for to play at CBGB. Isn't that interesting?
I guess.
it's so stupid. I just wanted to talk about it.
Are we going to do a police episode at some point?
Probably. Once we start getting corporate sponsors.
Well, they were, like, vaguely punk.
No, I know. They had some good songs. Don't Stand So Close to Me. I love that song.
Really?
Yeah.
There are police songs I like, but...
Like, what's your problem?
I kind of like Sellout era Police more, actually.
Really?
Like King of Pain and Every Breath You Take. And
God, I hate Every Breath You Take.
I love Every Breath You Take, man. It's a hypnotic song, man. It's cool.
Whatever.
King of Pain is a great song, too.
Well, can I talk about my favorites on generic?
Well, first, I should mention that Weird Al has a parody of King of Pain called King of Suede.
Thought you were going to say he had a parody of a Flipper song, and I was like, what the shit?
No, he does not.
God, that would have been great.
But King of Suede, that's a good song.
Sure.
Anyway, what were you going to say?
I'm going to talk about my favorites on this album.
Let's hear them.
For my money, side two is... The side to hear.
Mm.
You got Way of the World.
Way of
you
the
got
World
Life.
Is very good.
Yeah,
Life is okay.
Life is my favorite Flipper song.
Why?
Cause it's real.
I can name so many better songs.
Oh, like King of Pain.
Now that you mention it, yes, King of Pain is a better song than Life by Flipper.
Okay, no, Life is my favorite Flipper song.
Okay,
because I feel it really hard. There's like this weird, the weird guitar part when the guitar comes in. I just love it. I don't know what it's doing. It's great. The lyrics are real and they speak to me. Cause I too have sung death's praises, but I'm not gonna sing that song anymore.
It's a weirdly optimistic song for Flipper.
Yeah, I know. And like, that's kind of, it's like life is the only thing worth living for. It's like, yeah, it's true.
Hmm.
It's like, you know, not to get too too much of a bummer, but I was in the hospital a few years ago. I had to make a list of reasons why I shouldn't kill myself. And one of them was like, oh, well, I want to see like the next season of Curb Your Enthusiasm when that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a bunch of albums I haven't listened to that I want to hear. And that worked. You know, it doesn't have to be a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, I want to see my kids go to college. I'm like, nope. I just want to watch some TV.
That's a stupid reason.
I don't think it's stupid. I'm just saying it's not mine.
Just like the context that made it sound like that. You thought that was a stupid reason to stay alive.
It'd be stupid for me. I don't have kids.
Well, yeah, because you don't have kids. So it would be a stupid reason.
Wouldn't that be weird if I had a secret family all this time?
That would be weird.
Like all this time he knew me, I secretly had like a wife and children.
Mm.
That would make me a horrible person.
Yeah.
I'd be neglecting my family.
Plus you'd be lying to your friends.
Yeah, that would be shitty.
I think you've told me that you don't have any kids.
I don't know that I've said that explicitly. I feel like it's probably
surely
implied.
At some point you were like, Jeff, I don't have any kids. And I just believed you because I believe in humanity and I don't want to think that people are liars.
Flipper is too dark for you and you believe in humanity.
I don't believe that people are liars like you.
Yeah. And anyway. Living for the Depression, I like that song a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a classic punk song.
Sure.
They were like, you know what, guys? We'll try it, okay? You guys want hardcore, we'll give it to you. Okay, we tried it. Now, fuck off. We're going to do Sex Bomb.
Sex Bomb, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
It's great.
Shout out to Ted Falcone, man.
Mm-hmm.
That guy was in Vietnam.
Was he?
Yeah.
Shit.
Like, as a veteran. Like, he didn't just go there.
Right.
Like, he was in the war.
I figured out from context clues what you were talking about.
No, he just went there on vacation in, like, 82.
And Ho Chi Minh City is supposed to be cool.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Vietnam's supposed to be a cool place.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, foliage.
Well, not just for the foliage.
I don't know that much about it.
There are cities in Vietnam.
Sure.
Anyway.
Yeah, so this album's great.
It's pretty good.
It's their best studio album.
I might like Gone Fishing a little more.
Yeah.
It's probably not as good, actually, but I just like that, I don't know, they're doing a couple different things.
Yeah, they tried something new.
They're doing a little bit with it.
Yeah, do we want to talk about that album?
Did that come before Blowin' Chunks?
Let's see. They came out the same year. So.
Well, I mean, what do you want to say about Blowin' Chunks?
This is the drunkest, most heroined out, poorly recorded, poorly performed album, live album ever, and it's also the best.
Now, I know Will Shattuck died from heroin.
Shatter. You're thinking of Kim Shattuck.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Shit. Damn, you
different people.
Yeah, Will Shatter died from heroin. But
yes.
Was the rest of the band all smacked out, too? Or?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah?
Certainly sounds like it.
You think they were using real bad around this period, or...?
I would imagine. So they were definitely drinking a lot. Because if I can't be drunk, I don't want to be alive.
That's true. Yeah, I forgot about that song. So Blowing Chunks.
I don't wanna... This is my favorite. Like, just the versions that are on this album are my favorite versions of, like, their respective songs. So, like, this version of Way of the World, to me, is the definitive one. Same with Life. Yeah.
You know, I tend to neglect live albums, actually.
Yeah. Like, well, somebody didn't grow up as a Fish fan.
Yeah. That's true. You gained an appreciation for the live album.
Yeah, definitely.
That I never learned. But... Yeah, I mean, this album's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't think it's, like, essential.
It's very quotable to me. Like Pete Townsend, right? Or whatever the fuck. He was in Pink Floyd anyway. It's great.
I was going to say something, but I forgot.
This is riveting. Radio.
Well, you know, I already said I don't have that much to say about Floyd.
Yeah, that's true. I can't believe I have to carry this shit.
You can look. How many episodes have I carried, Caroline?
That's a really good point.
Several.
I'm ill prepared most of the time. You know, that song is great, okay. And this version is great. You ever hear Love Canal?
Mm-hmm.
We are breeding not to children, but to monsters. It's about a real thing that really happened.
What do you mean?
Love Canal. It was a river in, like, New York where they dumped a bunch of toxic waste and everybody got cancer.
Yeah. Did not know that.
Yeah. I've made reference to it before, like, in classes, and people were like, I don't even want to know what that is. And I'm like, how do you guys not know about Love Canal?
I don't either.
I remember hearing about it at a very young age for some reason. Hmm. Probably heard about it on Nick News with Linda Ellerbe.
Yeah, that was where we got all our news when we were kids.
Yeah, you know, my parents... It was interesting because my parents thought that... their friends' children were smarter than us because their kids didn't complain about watching Nick News, but they also thought that Nick News had a definite liberal bias that they didn't care for. So, man. You know, mixed bag.
Can't we escape the liberal agenda even on children's television?
Right? Listen, small government... And xenophobia. Those are just American values.
It's the America that I love.
Yeah. Let's make America great again, you guys. Oh, let's have bands like Flipper back, touring the country.
Flipper are great Americans.
They are great Americans. Mm. That's the thing, is that... Can you imagine the fire of music that would be released during a Trump administration?
That's true. Maybe
we did have that before, and it was American Idiot by Green Day. And,
the great protest album of the 2000s.
And, what was... American Idiot. The War on Error by NoFX.
Yeah. It seemed like all their albums from the 2000s were, like, anti-Bush puns.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just that one. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of Jello Biafra, because he released, like, fucking four albums that were, like...
Yeah, and they were all five-disc spoken word pieces of shit.
Right. Man, fuck Jello Biafra.
A little bit. I mean, I don't know. Some people, I think, are too enamored with their own vision.
You think Jello is one of those people?
Yeah, I do. I think he probably doesn't think so.
Oh, no.
But I do. I mean, there's nothing more self-indulgent than thinking that anybody wants to hear what you have to say about public policy.
That is true.
But I'm busting on him, but I mean, I have fresh fruit for rotting vegetables in my car. I listen to it when I go to work, and I think about if Jello Biafra saw me, he'd be like, look at this clown going to the circus.
Doing what the man tells you to do.
Yeah, well, or woman.
I'm happy at my job.
Yeah, or woman, because everybody in the office I work at is female.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I feel like probably like 3/4 of my coworkers are women.
Yeah.
Maybe more, actually. It's probably like 80%.
Sisters are doing it for themselves. That's why everybody you work with is gay.
That's true.
That's
why everybody I work with is gay.
Yeah, except you, but that'll come.
Just a matter of time.
Yeah. So there are these two songs at the end here. If I Can't Be Drunk and Ice Cold Beer. And those songs sound like a band that's like literally dying. Like they sound like they have DTs and they're going to die within moments.
That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool thing to have captured.
Yeah. No, it's like you hear that. That riff on, like, If I Can't Be Drunk, it's like, bah, bah, now, bah. Like, it's so sluggish. It's maybe the most sluggish thing they ever did. And it's just, you know, if I can't be drunk, I don't wanna be alive. And that's, like, that's who they are as a band, dude. Mm-hmm. I love this album. This album is so close to my heart. I've listened to it at my grandma's house. Listened to it.
Did you play it for her?
No, I just listened to it while I was there.
Okay.
I've listened to it at home.
Your proof that you love this album? Like, I listened to it at my grandma's house.
Yeah, well, you don't do that with just anything.
I suppose.
I wanted to go home. I needed some place to... I needed an album that would transport me to home. Mm-hmm. This album's like home to me. Even though I don't drink, so like I don't give a shit if anybody gives me a nice cold beer.
Should we talk about Gone Fishing?
Yeah, you like this album. Good for you.
I like the last album too.
Yeah, that's true. This album is interesting because it has like more instruments on it.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It has more instruments, but like the formula is very much the same.
Yeah,
know? It's just got like more shit piled on top, basically.
Yeah, like the saxophone part on First the Heart, it's just burn out, like that could just as easily have been played on bass,
sure.
And been kind of the same deal.
It's a good song though.
It's a great song, yeah.
This album has Sacrifice,
yes.
Which would, of course, go on to be covered by the Melvins.
On Lysol.
Uh-huh.
And places.
It's interesting because I was familiar with the Melvins cover for a really long time before I ever heard the Flipper version.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of the time when you hear a song, like the first version of that song that you hear is always kind of the one you like best.
Yeah.
And, like, you judge, like, any other version you hear against that one. But honestly, like, when I finally heard the Flipper version, I thought it was way better than the Melvins cover. Like, and I still do. Like, Sacrifice is probably my favorite Flipper song, actually.
Yeah,
like,
it's great.
It just pounds in a way that is very satisfying to me. And, like, I just like the tone of it and the lyrics, and it's... It's a good anti-war song, and
yeah,
it's very angry.
Rock against Bush, you guys.
Rock against Reagan in this case, but...
So mad, by the way, that Obama is not going to Nancy Reagan's funeral, because it's not that I give a shit about that old lady. It's because I'm going to have to hear about for so long.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, just pretend that you liked that stupid old dead lady for my sake.
Right. No, I just think it's hilarious that the reason he's not going is because he's going to South by Southwest.
How old are you?
That's fucking awesome. Ah, man. Fuck Nancy Reagan.
Yeah. Well, she's dead now.
Sure is.
Don't even worry about it. You think she ever heard that Sun City Girls song that was about her?
I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah, probably not.
It'd be cool if she did, though.
Yeah, she'd probably... I could understand her being deeply uncomfortable by... Because I would.
Nancy.
I would have been. Yeah. That song is really disgusting. Yeah. Another great song on this album is Survivors of the Plague.
Mm-hmm.
That's a song I kind of always forget about until I listen to this album. And then I'm like, oh, shit, this song owns.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know. I love plague stuff. You ever read the Decameron?
No, I have not, actually.
There's a lot of business about the plague in that. It's great. It's very interesting.
It's got 100 stories, right?
Yes.
It's too many stories.
I agree.
Fuck you, Boccaccio.
Some of them had to have been repeated. There can only be so many stories.
Yeah.
You know, all the stories have already been told.
That's true.
So don't even bother.
What else is there to say?
I don't know. Well, it's like, you could do like a scene in Garden State where she tells him to do something that's never been done before, and she just goes like, do you remember that?
Paige brings that up all the time, actually.
It's so it's
like,
stupid.
Sometimes when I'm feeling unoriginal, I just make a noise because I know that no one else is doing that in the world.
It's so stupid.
Zach Braff is like, wow, this girl is really making me feel not depressed.
It was weird. How old is she supposed to be in that movie?
I don't know. I mean, I figured probably like 20s.
I guess. See, that's what I thought too. And then I remember like some people thought that she was like way younger, and I thought that was disgusting.
I don't know. I mean, isn't Zach Braff like a recent college graduate or something?
Yeah, he's like 25 or something, which is like, cry me a river, pal.
That's the thing. I don't need, like, suburban white post-grad malaise. It's my life.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need to see that in a movie.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's been done well, but...
The Graduate?
Yeah, basically The Graduate and full stop. And even that, like, I have some problems with that movie, too. Some of that, I think, is people misinterpreting the movie. Did you know that people thought that, like, the ending was supposed to be good? Like, when that movie first came out, and everybody was like, yeah, fight the system! And it's like, it's not what it was supposed to be. People were fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Everybody's stupid except me.
It's true.
Yeah.
I'm pretty stupid, for instance.
No, you're cool.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean I'm not stupid.
I just have a really hard time understanding what people are asking me to do when they ask me to do things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, I know. I hate it because it makes me seem much stupider than I really am.
Eh, you're doing all right.
What are you going to do? Well, we'll all be dead one day.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
What other songs
Talks
do you like
Cheap
on here?
Talks Cheap is kind of a funny song.
Mm-hmm.
They have the, like, kind of the, you know, the silly backing vocals that I like.
Right.
I like the cover to this album.
Yeah, it is kind of...
So you can make it into a little van.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like you can fold
That's what it's supposed to be. It's like you could cut it up, like you could cut it out and then make it, like fold it up and it would be a little van.
Oh, yeah.
And they would sell, like, you could order, like, extra, like, an extra cover, like, in case you wanted to actually do that.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know, it just never, like, clicked in my head that, like, you could actually do that with the cover. I just thought it was, like, a weird, like, this is what a bus would look like if you flattened it out.
Wow, you are stupid.
What did I tell you? I just told you that, and you didn't believe me.
And it's not the first, like, that's not the last time they would do that, because the Public Flipper Limited album, that's like a game board,
mm-hmm.
and there's like a whole game that you can play.
That's beat.
I know. So, see, these guys had some whimsy. It wasn't all let's kill ourselves.
Yeah, well, that's good. So yeah, Talks Cheap, Sacrifice, First the Heart, Survivors of the Plague. What else?
Light, Sound, Rhythm, Noise.
Song's alright.
Yeah. It's got, like, that bass, like, that it opens with just that bass and it's so sparse. Well, it opens with a whistle and then that bass. It's great. It's so sparse, you guys.
Yup.
Who would do that? Flipper would.
You should listen to them.
Yeah, they're really good.
Anything else?
Nah, this album is not as much of a favorite as, like, Blown Chunks or Generic is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good. One by One is good as, like, a long kind of droning type thing at the end.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's a good album. It's got a great cover that you could turn into a bus if you want to.
Sadly, this would be Will Shatter's final moment with the band.
Mm-hmm.
As he would pass away 3 years later in 1987.
Yep, that was the year my brother was born.
Well, God had to take somebody to bring your brother into the world.
Yeah, he replaced Will Shatter.
Hope your brother feels good.
It's like my dad. I remember when I was a little kid, I read the Jungle Book, the Rudyard Kipling book.
Uh-huh.
And they had a little thing like about him in the beginning, and I was like,
about
hey,
Will Shatter?
No, about Rudyard Kipling.
I was about to say, that'd be a weird thing for Rudyard Kipling to write about.
Yeah, I agree. And so it had a little thing about Rudyard Kipling, and I think he died like the same day even that my dad was born, and I was like, hey, you replaced him.
You know, that was a fair trade.
Yeah.
Because Rudyard Kipling was a cock, and
yeah, he
didn't contribute anything of value to literature, really.
No.
I mean, he's got that poem, If... Which
sure.
That poem
people
sucks.
Like.
Yeah.
But he contributed the term the white man's burden.
Yeah. And the ideology behind it.
Well, yeah, but.
Which was bad.
Yep.
I think we can say safely.
Yeah, I think we have enough. We have enough
pretty,
evidence.
Pretty uncontroversial, I would hope, at this point.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Right. But enough about Rudyard Kipling. He does have a cool name, though. I'll give him that.
Rudyard.
Well, Rudyard Kipling, the whole thing. Like, it's a fun name to say.
Disagree. I don't like it. I think it's awkward.
Rudyard Kipling. No, especially if you say it in your best British accent. Rudyard Kipling.
I'm not going to do that. Speaking of accents, somebody commented on our blog saying that their mother hates my nasal American drone because this lady is Australian.
Oh, no.
And if you're listening, ma'am, I would like to say I can only speak with the voice that I was given by our Lord God. And I'm trying my best.
Your nasal American drone.
Yeah.
I feel like I drone more than you do.
No, you're less nasal.
Yeah, I guess.
You have that nice deep voice. People like.
A Welsh lady told Paige that she liked her accent when we were in England.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Mm-hmm. See, I just figured like we sound like hicks to the British.
No. When I was in England, people like I went with like a class, and people liked hearing us talk because we were from North Carolina, and so they liked our voices.
It's cute.
Yeah.
It's weird to feel exotic.
I know, right? It's like I always love whenever a British person imitates an American accent.
Yes, I love that too.
Like on Monty Python.
You're right. That always makes me laugh.
Yeah. It's like, that's what we sound like to people.
So, where did they post that your nasal American voice?
On our website.
Oh, okay. I missed it,
On the Animal Collective episode.
You know what? That was rude.
Well, no. This person was just relaying what their mom said.
Well.
I'm not offended. I thought it was funny.
All right. Fair enough.
I thought it was cool. You know what? Somebody is listening. Somebody far away in Australia is listening to me.
Why would Australians listen to us?
Well, they get music down there.
I guess.
Like AC/DC.
Right. Nick Cave.
Nick Cave.
Dirty Three.
Men at Work.
Yeah. The Drones.
The Drones, sure.
Mm-hmm. That's it, though.
Yeah, those are the only bands.
To have ever come out of Australia.
And then in New Zealand, you have Flying Nun Records, sure. And then Flight of the Conchords, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they got.
Oh, Silt Breeze, too, though.
Oh, okay.
Dead Sea and some other bands I can't remember.
Oh, sure.
They were good, though.
Okay.
Alistair Galbraith, you ever listen to him?
No.
He's pretty tight. You should listen to him.
I don't like music from other countries.
You are a musico-nationalist.
Yeah. I say as, like, a bunch of my favorite bands are Japanese.
Right. Nah, I mean, I've said this before, that, like, art is the only thing I feel patriotic about.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I am proud of our cultural heritage, I guess.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, like, when you think of the music that's been invented here...
Mm.
Like, jazz is American, you guys. You're welcome.
Jazz, blues, R&B, rock and roll.
Hip-hop.
For sure.
Punk, debatable, but we laid the groundwork.
And punk was us.
Yeah.
But anyway, what are we going on?
We're talking about American Graffiti.
Wait, what about Sex Bomb Baby?
Oh, yeah, that's their, this is a compilation of singles and B-sides. It was released in 1988 after Will Shatter passed on.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, but R.I.P.D. And, it's good, it's got good stuff. It's got the original, single recording of Sex Bomb, which predates, No, it's not as good. It does predate the generic version. You got Love Canal, B-side, Ha Ha Ha, I own that.
Ha 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 is a great track, actually.
Isn't it? Yeah, I love it.
That shouldn't have been left out. You got some live stuff.
Yeah, I love that.
You have a musical adaptation of The Old Lady Who Swallowed a Fly.
I love that.
Which I was very amused by.
I love it. It's so stupid. I love it.
You have Brainwash, which I Not a good idea, honestly.
Okay.
I don't think that song is good. Do you?
It's not my favorite.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't heard Brainwash, it consists of... I don't know who's singing on it, but he's... keeps trying to, like, start saying something, and then he stops and goes, "Never mind, you wouldn't understand anyway."
It was
on,
like,
for like 7 minutes.
Yeah, it was funny like the first time I heard it. Right, and now I'm like,
exactly. You know, you can go ahead and,
you know, I know what happened, so I'm a little over it.
Go ahead and click the stop button.
Sure.
By the time it gets to Brainwash.
Yeah. But worth the price of admission for Love Canal and Ha 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 if you don't have like the 7-inch single, which I do. Pretty cool.
It is pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's a reissue. Like, I'm not that cool. It's on red. It's on red vinyl, though. That's kind of fun.
Why? Oh, you said that like you didn't like that it was on red vinyl.
No, I said that's kind of fun.
Well, right, but you went like, it's on red vinyl, though.
Oh, no, I didn't mean it in a negative way.
Well.
I was saying it because I wasn't cool because I own the repress.
Ah.
But it is on red vinyl, which is cool.
Okay.
So.
All right.
You got to pay attention.
Okay.
I'm
sorry.
But, yeah, you should.
I apologize to everyone.
Yeah, you should listen to that single because it's great. Both the songs are great. Melvins also did a cover of Love Canal on a single that they did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. They covered Way of the World, too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they love
are those,
Flipper down at the Melvins organization.
Were those on, like, or are they compiled anywhere? Or
I know that Way of the World is on the singles 1 through 12 compilation. Okay. I don't know. I found the Love Canal one on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, I could probably just look it up on SoulSeek, but...
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's fine.
So yeah, Sex Bomb Baby's all right.
Yeah. If you really love Flipper and you gotta know everything, then you should pick it up.
But later in 1993, hilariously.
Wouldn't you fucking know it? A band that Kurt Cobain liked got signed to a major label.
Yeah, I actually didn't know that this came out on a major label until, like, we were listening to this stuff for the episode. And like,
yeah, it was produced by Rick Rubin.
That is goddamn hilarious.
Like, right?
Of all the hilarious bands that got signed in the wake of Nirvana, like, this and, like, Butthole Surfers are up there, I think.
But Butthole Surfers changed their sound.
That's true.
Which Flipper really didn't.
Flipper didn't. I mean, the production is a lot cleaner on this album. Like, it's,
yeah, which I think is detrimental.
Oh, it definitely is, yeah. It definitely doesn't carry the same power that the first two albums do. I think probably entirely because of the production, pretty much, because I don't really think they've changed what they do at all, really.
No.
Like, it's still, you know, bass groove and noise guitar and yelling.
Yeah, Yeah, but I think, like, the grooves aren't quite as good.
You think the songs are noticeably worse?
I mean, that makes it sound like I hate this album, which I don't. I just don't think it's as good. I just don't think that these songs make as much of an impression as, like, the earlier stuff that they did. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
And, like, on this, Bruce Luce does not play bass at all. You have John Doherty, who also died of a heroin overdose. Interestingly enough.
That sucks.
And I don't like his style of playing as much as, like, Will Shatter. So, it's not a deal breaker, but it's not as good.
Yeah, I mean, this basically just sounds like Flipper, but cleaner and not as good.
Yeah. So there you go.
So yeah, if you're hurting for more Flipper, there's this.
Yeah, if you want to know what Rick Rubin could do with Flipper, this is what you got.
How did Rick Rubin become, like, a renowned producer?
I mean,
I associate him with, like, the Beastie Boys more than anything else, you know, because License to Ill, that was all Rick Rubin's production.
Yeah.
And he produced, like, Rain of Blood.
Yeah.
Or Rain in Blood.
Yeah, that's, like, kind of what I know him for the most.
Yeah.
Just because I think that that's funny.
But, like, I guess I don't really think of his production style as, like, distinctive, really. Like, it's just kind of rock,
basically. Yeah.
So I don't really... Oh, yeah, and I associate him with Johnny Cash, too, the American recordings.
Yeah.
And
he produced, like, a bunch of people, Rick Rubin.
Yeah, he did 99 Problems, too. That's a Rick Rubin joint.
Yeah, so we partially have him to blame for people saying, I got 99 problems, but whatever I'm talking about right now ain't one. Which can fuck right off.
Do people still do that?
Yeah.
Man, I can't believe how old that song is.
I know.
Was that 2004? 2003?
I think it was early.
I mean, that was off
2000s.
The Black Album, Jay-Z's last album.
Yeah.
You remember that when he retired and never released another album?
See, at that time, I didn't like hip-hop music, mm-hmm. So I didn't follow it very much.
I actually liked hip-hop a lot more, like, back then. Like,
yeah.
I don't listen to much hip hop anymore, but like.
Yeah, I listen more now. I think because, like, my parents didn't like it, and because my parents are old.
Right.
And so they didn't like it, and so I was like, well, I don't like it either. My mom likes the Moody Blues, so I like the Moody Blues.
Yeah, my dad hated hip hop.
I still like the Moody Blues, though.
I didn't really. My mom had the cassette single of Baby Got Back, which. When I discovered that as a kid, I listened to that, like, over and over again.
I do remember loving that song.
I thought it was hilarious. And actually, I think the beat to that song is good, actually. Like, I think it has a cool beat. But yeah, I actually, like, when I was a teenager, I probably listened to as much hip-hop as I did rock back then.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know what happened somewhere along the line.
Yeah, I didn't get into hip-hop. And I mean, I'm still, like, kind of barely into it. Like, I mean, I definitely have favorites and stuff, but I think I heard 36 Chambers when I was, like, 17.
Oh, yeah.
And that was what got me, like, oh, I should probably listen to hip-hop music because it's good.
Why do rock and roll fans like that album so much?
It's just really good.
Lots of hip-hop albums are really good, though.
That's true.
I mean, it's kind of an aggressive album, I guess, but, like...
Yeah, I think it's that. I think it's like, a really interesting album in terms of production and, like, the beats and what's going on. But I don't have like one definitive answer. I think some of that is like, I think to some degree it's just kind of reached meme status.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
That sucks, man. That can happen to bands and albums in the 21st century.
I know.
They reach that. That wasn't a problem until like 5 or 6 years ago, maybe.
I know, it's garbage.
And now we have memes.
Yeah. If any of these Flipper albums reach meme status, I'm gonna throw somebody through a wall.
Keep the 4chaners away from.
Ugh. Those people, they don't, you know, they don't know enough about life to relate to this music.
When they relate to Swans.
Yeah, well, that's because Swans is fake.
Mm-hmm.
Swans is fake music for people that want to seem hard, but they're not.
Well, you're playing on dangerous ground right now, Caroline.
Yeah, I know. Fuck Swans. Fuck Michael Gira. I hope you get struck by lightning.
Yeah, I mean, in light of recent events, I think fuck Michael Gira is an appropriate thing to say.
Yep. So, I hate him. This is an anti-Michael Gira podcast now. Yeah. Just getting that out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have that much to say about American Graffiti.
Of course you don't.
What do you mean?
Who could?
Yeah.
Who could possibly care?
Like, I could see, though, I could see this album being a big deal to you if it's 1993 and you've never heard music like this before.
Yeah, maybe.
But I, like,
I guess this is pretty, like, heavy, I guess, for, like, major label, like, music, you know?
But, like, even then, I feel like once that person goes through Flipper's back catalog, this is nobody's favorite Flipper album.
Yeah.
This has nobody's favorite Flipper song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not offensive, but
nah, it's perfectly adequate, I think.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm coming.
It's definitely for. Not like an embarrassment, like lots of people embarrass themselves upon signing to a major label. Like, I'd
mean,
probably
like
say
Butthole Surfers.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't call Independent Worm Saloon an embarrassment. Just like,
I like Independent Worm Saloon.
But like, Weird Revolution certainly. but what about the last Flipper album?
Love.
Love.
Yeah. This one I actually kind of like. I like it.
You like it what?
I like this one more than the last one.
Oh, okay.
This has some good songs. I do think that Chris Novoselic's playing is a little too good.
Well, you know,
but
he needs something to do.
Yeah, God bless him. He's trying. He was in World's Greatest Dad for like a second.
I think I've said this before, but it should be said again. Chris Novoselic is the luckiest motherfucker in rock music. Like, that dude doesn't deserve to have millions of dollars. Come on.
What about Ringo Starr?
Ringo is better at drumming than Chris is at bass.
No, I disagree. I like him. Like, I don't
have anything against the guy, but like,
well, no, I'm saying I like his bass playing.
Well, I mean, really?
Yeah, like, he's not, like, my favorite bass player.
Well, I mean, his bass playing isn't bad, but, like, apart from, like, Lounge Act, I can't really, I mean, I guess, like, some of his other songs had strong bass lines, too, but it's very, I mean, it Smells Like Teen Spirit, that's a very Pixies-influenced, like, bass playing, I think.
Sure.
You know, the
He's good on Bleach.
Yeah, I guess. I'm just saying, like, he's clearly the least talented member of Nirvana.
Yeah, but that's a pretty small talent pool. So it's not his fault.
I'm just saying, I can think of lots of bass players that deserve to be rich more than Chris Novoselic.
Name two.
Mike Watt.
Yes.
And Flea.
Flea is rich.
I know. He deserves
Try
it more.
Try again.
He deserves it more than Chris Thompson.
No, he deserves... Flea... I have nothing against him personally. But, you guys, I watch so many bass demo videos on YouTube. And every fucking idiot who's trying to demonstrate an amp by playing slap bass in a quiet room, which tells me nothing...
That's all Flea's fault.
Yes, it is. It is. And it makes me forget that, like, when Bootsy Collins or somebody does slap bass in its proper context and they know when to use it and when not to, it can actually be good.
Yeah. But, you know, don't forget, one of Flea's biggest influences.
Mike Watt. I know.
Mike Watt. So
I
really,
know.
We have Mike Watt to blame for all this.
But I can't stay mad at him. He's such a good person.
Oh, yeah.
He was a paralegal, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, check that out.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah. I'm not alone in this world.
So what... Honestly, I think this album is pretty forgettable.
I like Old Graves.
Yeah, actually, Old Graves is a good song now that you mention it. That's the one that has, like, the distorted vocals on it and,
yeah.
And all that. Yeah.
Yeah, I like Old Graves a lot.
That's it, though. I mean, it's Flipper. This, like I said, they do one thing. They continue to do one thing on this. How does your songwriting not evolve the slightest bit in 27 years?
You're really, really dedicated to a certain songwriting philosophy.
I guess, but like, don't you have a little ambition, man? Like, aren't you?
No.
Don't you want to prove that you can be more?
Flipper have proved all that they've needed to.
Guess.
They've earned what they have.
I don't know. I kind of feel like the best thing about this album is that it gave Chris Novoselic something to do.
Wasn't he trying to run for, like, mayor?
Yeah. He was getting involved in, like, local politics for a little while. I don't know if he still does that, though.
I don't know.
I think that was, like, the 90s, though. Like, I don't even know what he's up to these days.
He's probably having a good time with his millions of dollars.
He hasn't aged well, I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because that, you know, those big old teeth are a little cute if you've got, like, you know, you've got that bushy hair and you're young and you're like 6'10", so everybody thinks you're mysterious and cool. And then you go bald and you have a beard and it's just like, oh man,
I have a
poor guy.
I'm going to age badly.
Do you?
Yeah.
Are you losing your hair?
I mean, tiny bit, but not really. I am getting gray hairs, which I actually think looks cool, but
I'm getting some too.
I don't want to get like paunchy and bald though,
you know? Yeah, well, if you do,
I mean, I know that's the way of the world, but
hey,
I did that on purpose.
I know.
joking. Yeah, I don't have anything to say about Love, though.
Yeah. Well, Old Grave's really good. Transparent Blame is good. It's fun. It's kind of interesting to hear, like, more fluid bass lines in a Flipper song. Because, like, I don't think Chris Novoselic is a particularly creative bass player, but, like, he isn't really stumbling around on the thing. So it's kind of interesting. But I think he's too good of a bass player for them, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think this is their weakest album. Like, I probably...
You
like
think this is weaker than American Graffiti?
Yeah, I do. I think I would rather listen to American Graffiti than this album.
Well, okay.
Well, to me, it's like... I don't know. Like, how... I can't excuse, like... 17 years later, and this is all you've done.
That's all they like, that's all they want to do.
But, okay, but I'm not going to commend them for it.
Okay, well, I commend them for getting, like, at least one good song out of it.
I guess.
And like, it is weird. It really is weird how Flipper has endured.
Yeah, it is. You're absolutely right.
What's with that?
Of all bands that should have, like, self-imploded in, like, a fiery mess disaster, Flipper should have been one of those.
Yeah, and yet here they are still. Now they have David Yao.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'd still like to see Flipper, actually. I would definitely see them if they came to our neck of the woods.
Sure.
Which it doesn't seem like they ever do.
Nah.
I don't think I've ever, like, seen their name anywhere in North Carolina.
I think Flipper is a young man's game.
Yeah, maybe.
But, so, we're also going to talk about Fight.
Are we?
Yeah. Just a little bit, just to put a capper on it, because I do like Flipper's live material a lot. And so they did some live material here. And it's not as good as their old live material, but it's fine.
Yeah.
They do some old stuff. They do some new stuff. There you go.
Yep.
That's what it is. If you like Flipper and you want to hear some more Flipper, here it is.
Why did you even make me listen to this album? Like, what were we going to gain from listening to this album?
It was just, you know... Another facet of their newest incarnation.
Does Chris play on this?
Yeah.
He does? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because they also had the lady from Frightwig. She played for them a while. But I don't think she's played on anything that's been recorded. Or at least anything that's been released. And I actually don't know who plays with them now. Who plays bass for them?
Is it David Yao?
I don't think so.
Because didn't he play bass for Scratch Acid?
Yeah.
Well,
but
could,
I don't know.
Could be David Yao.
It could be. I don't know. Can he play and sing at the same time? Because nobody in Flipper could.
I don't know if he can do anything. Because he's usually drunk.
Well, he can get up there and put on a show.
It was funny. My friend Alex went to see the Jesus Lizard at Cat's Cradle. And I was actually out of town, so I couldn't go. But he sent me a text that was like, David Yao just called me an asshole and took a kick at my head. I think I found my new father figure.
What did he do?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Did David Yao just not like his face?
Probably not.
I could see that.
But yeah, apparently David Yao like did a roundhouse kick and almost like, connected with his head or something.
That's amazing. I want to see David Yao do a roundhouse kick so bad.
I wish I could see the Jesus Lizard again, but I think they're like done for good this time.
Yeah.
I think that was just like a let's get the boys back together one last time kind of thing.
Sure, they have to make sure that their community center doesn't get bulldozed.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
I guess that's Flipper.
Yep. They are great. If you like music, you'll like Flipper, the most musical band there's ever been.
I was about to say, I don't know that that follows. But, you know, they're worth a try.
Yeah.
If you like the music that we talk about, you'll probably like this.
If you like some of the music that we talk about. Mm-hmm. If you like Animal Collective and bands like Animal Collective and that's all you like, you're not going to like Flipper that much.
Do you think we made people mad with the Animal Collective episode?
Well, nobody said anything, so I don't think so.
We specifically asked people to say stuff at the end of that episode, and they didn't. So I think that might be either no one cares, or they are mad at us and are giving us the silent treatment.
I don't know. Which one would make you feel better?
I mean, I know they're listening because we've gotten like 60 downloads on that episode. So
wow.
I know people heard it. And by the way, our Royal Trucks episode, fucking no one listened to.
Really?
Well, not no one, but not many. I definitely notice we get more hits when we do bands that are popular.
Yeah, no shit.
Right. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't necessarily know if we have an audience that will listen to us no matter what every week. I mean, I think
yeah,
some
makes
people,
sense.
But
I think that's just people that know us.
But yeah, when we did Animal Collective and when we did the band before Royal Trucks, I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm going to look it up real quick.
Okay.
Or no, not before Royal Trucks, after. When we did My Bloody Valentine and Animal Collective, we got way more hits than when we did Royal Trucks.
You don't say.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be damned.
And that was 2 weeks in a row where we shit on bands that lots and lots of people love.
Well, we both like My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah.
It's just not like...
And I even have a sort of respect for Animal Collective.
I don't.
I mean, at the very least, they were unique.
I don't think that that's an admirable quality in and of itself.
I do. That they were unique and managed to be popular. Like, they were unique and appealing to lots of people. Like, that's something. Like, they were tapping into something, clearly.
Yeah, that doesn't mean I have to respect
well,
them.
All right, fine. I'm just saying, like, that's kind of cool. You know, good for them.
Well, fine. Well, they're going to be playing Summertime Clothes on cruises with Bon Iver and Mumford and Sons.
I am very interested in what people will make of Animal Collective in like 20 years.
No, like, I am too. I like if I could go into the future and just see like what specifically that, like what do people think of Animal Collective?
That's how you would use time travel.
Yeah. That and I was thinking I was going to kill somebody, but I don't remember who it was that I was going to kill if I went back in time. It was like a musician, but I don't remember who. But, yeah.
All right, I think we're done here.
Yep, okay. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.